Welcome to Wild and Awake, an online retreat where you deepen your consciousness, arouse your courage, and choose with wisdom. We are exploring the question, how do I live my best life right now? I am your host, Kari Vantine.
Hello, everyone. Welcome today to Wild and Awake. Today, we are so blessed to have with us Patricia Cota Rubles. Welcome, Patricia.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be here.
I'm really honored to have you. Patricia is an internationally known teacher and co-founder and president of the nonprofit educational organization Era of Peace, which sponsors her work and the annual World Congress on Illumination. Patricia was a marriage and family counselor for 20 years. She now spends her time sharing the vitally important information she is receiving from the beings of light and the realms of illuminated truth. She is the author of a number of books, vlogs, and a wonderful amount of free work available on her website, eraofpeace.org, which I encourage you all to check out. It's just a very generous space of information. Several of Patricia's books, Divine Alchemy, What on Earth is Going On in the Violet Flame, are all books that have made a big difference for me. And I'm just going to flash one of the covers here. Patricia, I think you've written 6, 7 books, quite a number of really powerful.
I've actually written 15.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I didn't find them all online.
Yeah, including the coffee table book that I have on Renaissance of Divine Love, and also the affirmation book, Co-Creating the New Earth. So,
fantastic. Thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome.
So many, so much out there. And I just want to speak a little bit about your intent or what happens for you. So the divine intent of these celestial sharings is to give humanity encouragement, greater clarity, and understanding as we progress through these wondrous but often challenging times. Patricia's philosophy is every person is precious and divine, regardless of how far his or her behavioral patterns and life experiences may be from reflecting that truth. We are not the victims of our lives. We are the co-creators of our lives. Now is the time to create the lives we have always dreamed about, and we already have everything we need to accomplish that pulsating within the divinity of our heart flame. Those are really powerful, beautiful words to begin with, Patricia. I feel just very, very grateful to have you here today. I know that your awareness and your consciousness of what's happening on a big scope is it's going to be a real gift for all of the listeners here. And a place where I would love to start, because I know this is a question many people will have as they're listening in on us today, is the information that comes through you. Can you explain how that happens and what it is that's coming through? Because it's powerful information. I know it's part of what's come into all of your books and that everything people are seeing online. How is this information coming through?
It's coming through open heart and mind telepathic communication. And this is something that is available and was originally part of our divine plan for each and every one of us. And it was only after we experienced what was referred to as the fall from grace that we fell into such dense frequencies of separation and duality that we lost consciousness of that higher aspect of ourselves. And what the fall from grace was just for us to understand at a real practical level, is that when we began using our creative faculties of thought and feeling in ways that were not based in love, we began creating these gross mutations that lowered our vibration until we started manifesting the results of that negative thought and process, and started manifesting poverty and disease and aging and every malady that we have that we're existing now. And that was never part of the original divine plan. In the original divine plan, we were supposed to be learning through our creative faculties how to be co-creators with our Father, Mother, God, and how to use our thoughts and feelings to express new patterns. And we had the ability to communicate with the higher aspect. Science calls it our superconscious mind, or we've called it our higher self or our Christ self. the beings of light in the heavenly realms, which are just like college professors compared to us being kindergarten students, there are teachers that are guiding us, and they're encouraging us to realize that that part of our consciousness is our I am presence. You know, when Moses spoke to the burning bush and said, "Who are you?" the response was, "I am that I am. I am Alpha, I am Omega, I am the beginning, I am the ending." And it was really the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent presence of our Father, Mother, God. And when we were breathed forth as individualized expressions, we were an individualized I am presence that really had that whole divine potential within us. And we had the ability to receive that guidance from the heavenly realms. We were supposed to have open heart and mind communication with our I am presence and with the company of heaven, the beings of light who are sisters and brothers that have evolved to higher levels of evolution and understanding. And so, you know, there's an expression, as above, so below. And in the physical plane, we're not expected to go through all the lessons of academia and science and medicine and all that without teachers and professors and guides along the way. And we certainly weren't supposed to learn the lessons of becoming co-creators with our Father, Mother, God just by trial and error and happenstance either. We were supposed to have guides and teachers. And so when we fell into this frequency, then everything changed for us. And we started really struggling through trial and error, you know, not knowing where we were, fear-based consciousness, creating this fragmented part of ourselves known as the human ego. But that is now reversing. And we're all now learning to receive and communicate. And it begins with an intuitive inner knowing that we all have, and we all have that guidance. Whether we listen to it or not, or whether we pay attention to it, is a different story. But it's available to all of us. And that's what everything that I'm guided to teach and share is, to empower each and every one of us to get this guidance and this information directly.
One of the things I also really appreciate about your work, Patricia, is I've heard you say over and over again that the information you're giving to and offering to all of us is for us to actually take in and feel where it's resonating in our own truth. So there will be people listening to us today right now, probably going, you know, what is this information? So I'm going to just invite all of you listeners to listen with whatever part of you can right now. Be open to this. Be curious about this. All of these offerings on these conversations are really ones to invite you to be opening your consciousness to something more. And can you speak a little bit, Patricia, about how you feel about people as they're taking in this information?
Yes, I absolutely agree with you, Cara, about that. And I encourage people to listen to everything that resonates or is coming your way as food for thought. And no matter how much you love someone, no matter how clear you think they are, how much you revere their information, it's still being filtered through their consciousness, which may be a little different than the way you would interpret it. And so I really encourage everyone to just listen to the information as food for thought. And the wonderful thing is, if I'm presenting something, or if Cara or her guests are sharing something that doesn't resonate as truth, just let it go. And I promise you, if it is something that's important for you to know in order to fulfill your phase of the unfolding divine plan, your I am presence will keep presenting that information over and over and over again until it finally resonates as truth. I've had people, just not long ago, a man said to me, I've been around a very long time, and he used to come to my classes in the early 1980s. And this was a class that I had, in my hometown of Tucson, Arizona, and a series of seven Monday nights, a series of classes. And he said, I came to all of those classes and I just sat there. And he said, I didn't understand a word you said, but he said, I felt so good when I left there that I kept coming. He said, I'm writing to you now to tell you, I get it. I now understand what you were teaching. And we will, you know, it's truth is. And so when we're, there's not that it, there wouldn't be different aspects or different perceptions about it. But when something is resonating as truth, such as that you are a beloved son or daughter of God, and all that our Father, Mother, God have is part of your divine potential, that's not going to go away. And you're going to hear that myriad ways until you finally start accepting that reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. And I want to say for the people who are listening, when you speak of the company of heaven, can you say a little bit more about who is in the company of heaven? Because I know that's languaging we're going to be using today.
Yes, it's just kind of a catchphrase that shares with all the multidimensional frequencies of light, of the beings of light. The ascended masters and the beings that we think of as our sisters and brothers and at that level have evolved to this higher level of consciousness. And now they're like college professors. And this includes all of the wonderful teachers and avatars associated with the various world religions, but also myriad other beings that we may not be familiar with. And there's directors of the elemental kingdom that are in charge of the weather, the earth, the air, the water, and the fire. They're the mighty Elohim that are the builders of form. They're the solar logos, who are the beings of light that reflect through suns beyond suns. But all of them, I mean, they're in different categories depending on the service that they're rendering and how they're assisting us. All of them are part of the all-encompassing presence of our Father, Mother, God, all that is, that cosmic I am. So all of these beings of light are just in various stages of evolution, all of them much, when we talk about the company of heaven, much higher than we are, working with a higher level of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And people sometimes when they're doing communication talk about our friends from other systems of world, from Sirius or Arcturus and things like that. I know that sometimes that just seems bizarre, but it's really, if you think about it, probably more bizarre in the trillions of galaxies that we would be the only one having, in this level.
Consciousness.
Mm-hmm. In this consciousness. And those beings are also, that are communicating with us, are also guiding us and assisting us to move forward, and they are at a higher level of evolution, but they are not in the same frequency as the heavenly realms where the ascended masters are. They're much more evolved than we are, but they are not in the realms of illumined truth that receive and guide and receive far more information from those, from the heavenly realms. And they will communicate that to you too. I'm not dissing them in any way. Yeah, they are teaching right, according to their wisdom and understanding. But I encourage all of us through our I Am presence to reach into the highest frequencies of illumined truth, the company of heaven. And that includes, as I said, all of those beings. But there is this all-encompassing presence of our Father, Mother, God. And within that divine matrix, every particle and wave of life in the whole of creation lives, moves, and breathes within the body of our Father, Mother, God. And even science is beginning to refer to this all-encompassing frequency of oneness as a divine matrix. And the foundation of that divine matrix of the body of our Father, Mother, God, we are learning fairly recently that this foundation is the divine feminine frequencies of our Mother God's comprehensive divine love. So everything that exists in all creation began from this frequency, the highest frequency of divine love, from the expression of our Mother God, and certainly embraced with the whole divine momentum and will of our Father God as well.
And when we're speaking of the Mother and Father God, I'm very certain we're not talking about the old white man in the sky.
No.
And I just want to clarify that for people here, that we're not actually talking about Catholicism or any particular religion in that way. You're actually, can you speak a little bit more about the vibration of what you mean when you say this, Mother and Father God?
Our Father, Mother God, the full expression that the beings of light refer to us is the cosmic I am, all that is. And that I comes from the Alpha, the beginning, the oneness, and that reflects our Father God. The Am comes from Omega, meaning the completion and the ending of balancing, and that's the feminine frequency of our Mother God. And we have those, both of those frequencies within us, in the masculine and feminine. We have different experiences when we're in a male body or when we're in a female body, and we do alternate bodies. You know, that's one of the things that is so important for us to start understanding the bigger picture of all of that, because coming into the physical plane is a learning experience, and we've gone through all kinds of experiences, and we've volunteered to come in as in a female body or in a masculine body. And our bodies are really just the car we drive. It's the vehicle that we use for our I am presence to navigate around in this physical plane. And with all, I know in the United States and other places too, there are these challenges of the civil rights and white supremacy and things that are coming up that are creating so much stress. And of course, all of that is from this fragmented and fear-based human ego. Our I am presence is fully aware that we are one with all life, and that we choose all different kinds of cars to drive. We've, at this point in our evolution, because of the importance of this time in the physical plane, we've all been everything. We've been every race. We've been every religion. We've been every culture. We've been every nationality, because we learn very different things from all of those experiences. And now we are in this body at this time, bringing in the full understanding from all of those other experiences. And that's part of what this word of awakening means, you know, is that we are beginning to remember who we are as sons and daughters of God.
I love the way you word that, Patricia, is we're beginning to remember. And I think what is helpful in that is that, you know, that the consciousness is here for us, that it's about us waking up into remembering these pieces. I know there's a piece that you talked about in 2020, there was a new awareness that came in right before COVID. And along with it began, you know, what I think of now is like this next chapter that we're in. Could you speak a little bit about what happened in that time and where we're going?
Yes, that in 2020, the beings of light told us in the beginning of January that this new decade would change the course of history for Mother Earth and all life evolving upon her. And they said that because of many things we've been working for decades in this awakening process and activities of light, magnificent events have occurred over the past several decades. We had finally reached a frequency of vibration. And when I say we, I'm talking about every man, woman, and child on the planet, in the entire elemental kingdom, and Mother Earth, you know, herself, that we had reached a frequency of vibration that allowed our Father, Mother God to give the company of heaven permission to intervene in our lives in ways that they said had never been attempted in any system of worlds. And at the beginning, we didn't understand what that meant, but don't ever doubt the information that's been given to us by the company of heaven. It has never been wrong, and we've experienced life-transforming events on the planet as a result of the cooperation between the heavenly realms and awakening humanity. They can't do this for us. There's an expression that God needs a body. In order for us to bring this light into the physical plane, it has to be breathed into the divinity of our heart flames and then breathed out into the physical plane. Well, in 2020, just within a matter of weeks after we were told about this collaboration and the initiation of this decade that would change the course of history, we started to experience the event of COVID. And what was really never occurred on the planet, the beings of light have said it is immaterial, all the conspiracy theories and all of that information, it's immaterial what the purpose of it, what caused it in the first place. They said, pay attention to the result, pay attention of what is occurring. And what happened with the forced timeout, or as the beings of light referred to it, as a planetary pause. This kind of thing had never happened in the history of the planet, even with other pandemics. We didn't have the technological communication to know that. But everybody,
unified.
Right. Had to stop everything. And it gave the I Am presence of each person the opportunity to integrate through this intuitive inner knowing. And people, a lot of them responding with fear, but also responding with love and compassion for what was happening in the outer world. And it created this collective cup of consciousness. They said never had that much love and prayers and light been invoked day after day after day on the planet by the collective consciousness of humanity. So this raised us up in vibration, and many things happened during that time. Certainly many souls left the physical plane, and from our perspective, that's always very sad. But the beings of light said that, especially how many elderly people left, is that the vast majority of them were powerful beings of light that had come to anchor the light on the physical plane and were being released to return home. And what was happening is that there was literally what we were finally told was a generational changing of the guard when the youth and the young people are starting to come forward now to take responsibility for helping to create the patterns of perfection for the new earth. And we're going to do that. We're going to heal and we're going to transform the planet. There's a lot of resistance. You know, we all know there have been misunderstanding and ego-based, power-oriented kinds of things that have gone on. What happens is that the light of God is increasing on the planet as humanity awakens and invokes that light. And every particle of life is an intelligent form of our Father, Mother, God. And when we receive our life force through our prana, our breath, that life force is divinely intelligent. And these electrons are coming forth to be sent forth according to our choice with our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions. And they're pure when we receive them. But we have the free will choice on how we're going to qualify them. So we can qualify them with love and happiness and joy, or we can qualify them with anger and fear and resentment and all the other abusive power kinds of things. But we're responsible for how we use that energy. So when we misqualify it into a distorted mutation of its original perfection, it returns to us as our outer world experiences, not to punish us, but to give us the opportunity to see what we've created, to learn from that. And I'm talking about everything that's manifesting in our life that's not the perfection of heaven on earth. Those are our distorted human miscreations coming back to us for us to learn from them, for us to flood them with so much love and light that we transmute them back into their original perfection. So what we're seeing now and why things seem so difficult in the outer world is because the light of God is increasing. And as it does, it pushes everything that conflicts with that light to the surface. So we see all of the garbage, all of the anger, all of the negativity. And from outer appearances, it looks like things are getting worse. But the beings of light said there is nothing further from the truth, that this light is coming up, and the number of people on the planet that are awakening and are consciously aware that this negativity is coming up to be healed and transmuted and loved free. They said the number of people participating consciously in this transfiguration of this misqualified energy is legion. There are literally millions of people on this planet. And even every single person that may think they're oblivious to that, every time you add to the light of the world through love and compassion, you are assisting in this process. Every time you acknowledge a beautiful sunset, you may be a dyed-in-the-wool atheist that thinks there's no such thing as an ongoing life or divinity or anything. But if you love your family, or if you fix a beautiful meal for them, or if you do your job with love to the highest level of your understanding, everything you do that adds light and love to the world is healing the misqualified energy. So even the most oblivious people, you know, I talk about sometimes when we make judgments in the outer world, even people like the Taliban, who are doing such an abuse of power and suppression of civil rights. They kneel 5 times a day to pray to God and send love to God, even in that moment. And regardless of what else they're doing, they're also, in spite of all the negativity, fortunately, light and love is infinitely more powerful than the fragmented fear-based consciousness of our human ego. So a few people working consistently to add to the light of the world can transcend the discordant negative thought forms of tens of thousands of people. So we are moving forward in the light at a greatly accelerated pace, in spite of what it appears in the outer world.
Thank you for explaining that. That was actually one of my questions. How could it be so messy and hard right now and also have an increasing of light? So thank you for explaining that. It's a little hard to see, but it's like, oh, it makes sense on a particular level. I'm interested in, I'd love to go a little deeper in an area that I know people are going to be very interested here, which is this concept that there's in the fifth dimension, that there are other things that are happening with our DNA than are happening in this dimension. Can you share about that piece, the 12 strands of DNA, in a way that folks might be able to understand? And before I go there, I want to say part of why I'm interested in people hearing this is that I'm aware that there's a greater amount of people aware of their own sensitivity, their own consciousness, their own awareness, and it's very, very powerful. And when I heard you explaining how on another dimension something else is happening, something started to make a lot more sense.
Yes. Again, knowing that the fall from grace, where we started misqualifying our energies and falling in, was not part of the original divine plan. And in the original divine plan, we had 12 strands of DNA. And that DNA was intended to sustain vibrant health, eternal youth, perfection in our physical bodies. And the plan was that we would come into the physical plane and we would use our creative faculties of thought and feeling to add to the light of the world without having to be distracted by challenges in our earthly bodies. That was going to be just the vehicle and maintain that vibrant health. So when we began misqualifying energy, for one thing, our crown chakra closed. We closed our heart and the divine feminine was blocked. The divine feminine enters through the right brain hemisphere and our heart center. So we began using our masculine energy without the balance of love. And we developed this fragmented, fear-based human ego. And as we misqualified more and more energy, our 12 strands of DNA that functioned like a very elaborate fiber optic communication system and helped us stay connected to our I am presence in the company of heaven, it began to short circuit into the double helix DNA that we have now. And our physical body began to have to create through our DNA, these distorted, mutated cells that have manifested as aging and disease and mental illnesses, dysfunction, deformities, all kinds of things that were never part of the divine plan, but that we tragically now at this point accept as being part of our natural evolutionary process, which it is not. And even scientists studying our DNA have said that as much as 98.8% of just that fragmented double helix DNA is 98.8% junk DNA. Well, that's ridiculous. You know, God is very practical and there's no such thing as junk DNA. There's only DNA that we don't understand what it is. But now in this evolutionary, when we talk about moving into the new earth or in the fifth dimension, in the third and fourth dimension that we've been living in, we live in planetary carbon-based physical bodies. This is a planetary carbon-based, and that's what the cells of our bodies are. We are ascending into higher and higher frequencies, and this is taking place step by step in increments gradually, but we are moving into in the fifth dimension. When we complete this transformation that we're going through, we're going to be abiding in fifth dimensional crystalline based solar light bodies. And in those bodies, we have 12 strands of DNA, but they're fifth dimensional crystalline solar strands of DNA. And the DNA is vibrating at a higher frequency. It is vibrating in the fifth dimension at a frequency that cannot sustain aging and disease. Those frequencies are discordant energies that drop away when we move into that higher frequency. They are vibrating below that frequency. And I know that sometimes that seems complicated, but just to simplify it, let me say that, you know, every world religion in one form or another, even the ancient spiritual scriptures from thousands of years ago, have talked about there will be a time when we will go into what they referred to even as a new heaven and a new earth, and there'll be no aging and no disease and no pain and suffering and no poverty. Or any of the maladies that we've miscreated on this physical plane. And because that seemed so far out, the world religions also came up with stories about some very magnificent divine being coming into the physical plane and transforming the earth and changing all of that for us. But the reality is there are wonderful beings helping us from the heavenly realms, but they cannot do this for us. They can only teach us the process. And many of you may have heard about moving through the shift of the ages, and we've talked about that. And it really began in 1987 when we started talking about it the most, when we were talking about harmonic convergence. And at that time, we were really focusing on this 5,125-year completion of the Mayan calendar. But the beings of light said the shift of the ages is much larger than that. The shift of the ages is a cosmic moment when through all creation, cycles within cycles dovetail into one rhythmic momentum with the heartbeat and the breath of our Father, Mother, God. And during that cosmic moment, our Father, Mother, God in-breathe all creation up the spiral of evolution into the next octave of our learning experience. So that means all creation is moving forward in the light. To understand what the fifth dimension is when before the shift of the ages, which was really, we're in the process of it, but it really took a quantum leap on December 21st and 22nd in 2012, when we aligned with the galactic core of the Milky Way. That's when this cosmic in-breath took place. So prior to that, when our loved ones would go through the near-death experience, they always talked about passing through this dark tunnel into the light. And what they were doing, all the dark tunnel is this surfacing negativity, the negative thought forms and feelings, misqualified energy of humanity. So they passed through that heavy, dark energy into the light. And when they saw their loved ones that had passed on before them in the light, they consistently report that they were in their prime, regardless of the condition their physical bodies were in when they left the physical plane. And there was no aging, and there was no pain, and no war, and no poverty, and nobody was struggling from morning till night to put food on the table or to make a mortgage payment or whatever. These things were manifested, and they draw them into their lives, because in that frequency of vibration, we can co-create and manifest at that level. Well, that dimension that our loved ones that we thought of as the heavenly realms was the fifth dimension. So with this shift that's taken place, that dimension is now in the sixth dimension. So now when people go through the near-death experience, they're going even into a higher dimension than we used to prior to the shift of the ages.
That's fascinating. Thank you. Thank you, Patricia. I really appreciate you pulling it apart so we can really see the pieces of it.
Well, you're welcome. It helps sometimes, I think, just to get that, how could that happen? Well, we've seen that it already does happen, you know. And when we talk about the length of time and what's happening in the outer world, the beings of light is a word of encouragement to us, remind us over and over again that we are multidimensional beings. And when we do these powerful activities of light, that they are accomplished in the realms of cause, and then they begin to be drawn through our thoughts and feelings into the physical plane. And they said the physical plane of Earth that we think of as being so real is actually the least real of all of the dimensions we abide in, and it is the very last dimension to reflect these magnificent shifts and changes that we're co-creating in the higher realms of cause.
That makes a lot of sense. In these next 10 years in which there's a lot of change, right? Starting in 2020 and looking through this, what do you see or what is being offered to us that is likely to happen? And how can we individually prepare ourselves more or be more ready to be part of what's happening?
Well, it's important to know it's happening moment by moment. So we need to just pay attention and realize that every single 24-hour period, our I Am presence is raising the frequency of vibration within our physical, etheric, mental, and emotional bodies the maximum that we can withstand. And I'll share just a few of the things that we have participated in the myriad activities of light taking place on the planet, but a few of the awesome things just since 2020. One of the things with COVID, that when we had our planetary pause and the I Am presence was able to integrate more fully, the beings of light said our I Am presence was able to dismantle the fallen codes in that fragmented DNA and the messenger RNA DNA, the messenger codes in our fragmented DNA that literally released and transmuted what they called is the genetic wounds in our DNA. And they referred to them as enslavement codes. So these enslavement codes, which manipulated us into aging and disease and all of these things, were transmuted back into light, and our I Am presence, we place them with fifth dimensional divinity codes. And our body template had disintegrated into a karmic body template, which is perpetuating these distortions in our earthly body. And it was transformed into a fifth dimensional crystalline body template. This is in the process. It's taking place within our bodies now, but it's a divine body template. And this is what's going to help as we complete this information, this ascension, sustaining these perfect vehicles once we complete this process. We're in the middle of it. It's happening every 24 hours, but it's a process that's taking place. So many things are happening, and the I Am presence through this time has been able to actually integrate. When we were in the densest frequencies of our third dimensional body, our I Am presence projected light through us, but did not actually enter the mutated cells. The fact that our I Am presence, we have raised and raised and raised our vibrations over the past few decades, but specifically since 2012, the I Am presence can now withstand the frequencies of our body, and we're vibrating at the very initial impulses of the fifth dimensional new earth. And as we progress through this, we'll move higher and higher. And everybody's at different levels, but everybody is involved in this, the maximum that their life experience will allow according to their divine plan.
I was going to ask you about that, because you're saying every day we do the maximum of what we're able to. And I would guess that some people who are not aware of, or maybe don't believe this, they would still be evolving to the highest level that they're capable of.
Yes. Everybody's moving forward. And even, I'll say, some are moving forward kicking and screaming because they're their lower ego that has been so manipulative and controlling isn't. And we can just witness that in the outer world with the things that are going on politically and with things like, you know, the power struggles and the abuse of power and all of that, let alone corporate greed and, you know, the abuse of big pharma and things, you know, just the whole money power oriented thing that is not working toward the highest good for all of us. They're not wanting to give up that control and that, but they will. We love them just the same. And they're moving forward in the light, whether they like it or not, on that lower consciousness. Their I Am presence loves it, I guarantee you. But on that lower consciousness, and it's all fear-based. They're afraid.
We've heard a lot the term people being light beings, and there being people that have more light being elements in them. What does that mean? Or would you use that term or a different kind of term?
It's just what we're talking about. Every single person on this planet is a light being. And there are people that are reflecting that light through their activities and their work and the light they're invoking more effectively or more powerfully than other people. But the wonderful thing is that we're one and there is no separation. So our I Am presence is one with the I Am presence of everyone else. So if we say, I am my I Am presence and I'm one with the I Am presence of all humanity, then we do our invocations of the light. Our light flows through the I Am presence and gives the I Am presence of every person permission to assist that person in whatever way is in alignment with their divine plan. So there's just different stages, and it all has to do with the choices we're making with our thoughts, words, feelings, and actions, and this awakening. You know, it's interesting that the work in the outer world, this division and this, they are using the word, instead of awakening, they're using the word woke, and they're acting as though it's this really negative thing. And even the politicians in Florida said, woke is where, or, you know, Florida is where woke goes to die. And so they're talking about, you know, blocking anybody that's awakening and moving forward in the light, which is, it's comical if they really understood what they think they're saying and doing. You know, they think it's bad, and it's the same thing, you know, with fear-based consciousness. It's like the term New Age, you know, when that began in the 60s and 70s, and people started with all the world religions started saying, don't do anything with the New Age, that's the work of the devil, and all of that kind of thing. So it's just fear-based consciousness. And it's, we're moving forward into the light, and everybody's moving forward into the light, and we're one. There's no such thing as us and them, no matter how hard people are fighting that. You know, it's just, if we can just think of everybody as a cell in the body of God, just like within our own body, and we all are unique and different and have different, you know, reflections and different purposes and different reasons for being. And we can say, I'm a heart cell, so I only love heart cells. But if you don't have a brain, then you're in a lot of trouble. So you have to have cells that do everything for the whole body to work in harmony and in unison.
I like that description of us all being cells. One of the questions that was rising for me when you were speaking was how, you know, this, in my mind spirit space, I can really feel the oneness of everyone and everything. That's actually a big piece of my practice, is experiencing the connection to everything. And yet this physical form, this body here, works as an individual often, right? Where I'm doing my work here on this earth plane. How do we make sense of that, what feels like a dichotomy of two very different experiences?
Well, the thing that is true is that when we say we are one, we are talking about every, not only on earth and every human being here, but we're talking about all creation. And the thing that helps me really recognize and get what that means is when the beings of light were really saying, which is an awesome responsibility to start understanding, is that every single thought, word, action, or feeling we express is reflecting out, and depending on our frame of mind at the time, it is either adding to the light of the world or the shadows. Mm-hmm. So we individually are this person, and yet our thoughts and feelings are affecting every part of life because we're one and there is no separation. And so if we can start consciously saying, you know, if what I am thinking and feeling now, is this adding to the light of the world or the shadows? And if it's not adding to the light of the world, flood it with love and the violet flame, which is the balance between the masculine polarity of the sapphire blue ray of our Father God and the crystalline pink ray of our Mother God. And when those two flames merge, they create this magnificent violet flame of God's infinite perfection. And the beings of light said that is the most powerful frequency of light to transmute the negativity that's being pushed to the surface. So flood those negative thoughts with the violet flame and say, what do I want to think instead of that? What do I want to empower instead of that? And it takes discipline. You know, in the beginning, it's, you think of it and you think, okay, I'm going to think this thought. And then 2 minutes later, you have to say, okay, it's what I am thinking now. And then 2 minutes later again. But when that starts resonating, how powerful we are to add to the light of the world or the shadows. Mm-hmm. And knowing that all of the shadows we add refer back into our life experience as difficult, challenging experiences to get our attention and to show us what we created through that behavior. And that could be from other time frames and dimensions, other lifetimes, and it's immaterial. One of the things that's the hardest to accept when you're first starting to understand this is that there's no such thing as a victim. Mm-hmm. The beings of light have said there is not a person, a place, a condition, or a thing that can interject anything into our life experience that we have not in the first instance created in some time frame or dimension. And that's monumental. That doesn't, is not being given to us to beat ourselves up and feel guilty and bad, or to throw it out, the baby out with the bathwater, and say that's impossible. Just to start thinking, what if, okay, instead of getting mad about this challenge I'm having at this moment or this situation with this person or whatever, instead of just feeling like I'm a victim and that's horrible and all of that, say, what if it is my own energy? And I'm going to ask God and the company of heaven to blaze this situation with the violet flame and transmute it back into light. Help me learn and complete any lessons I need to learn, but then let me transmute it back into light so that I can create what I want instead of that, and then think about what you want in power and create instead of that negative situation that's manifesting.
That's very, very powerful. Patricia, in this this whole conversation that we're having, the title is Wild and Awake, How Do I Live My Best Life Right Now? And I would say a big piece of our conversation has been addressing that question, but I'd love if you could just talk about it directly. How do I live my best life right now through the context of the work you do and the information that comes through you? For this, for all the audience here, and just being feeling the presence of all this audience listening, saying, how do I use this? How do I use this to live my best life right now?
Well, the key is knowing that you are a son or daughter of God, and that you have everything within you to accomplish whatever it is you're feeling the heart call to accomplish. And then taking the steps to monitor your thoughts, words, actions, and feelings. Empower what you want to create, not the fears of what you don't want to create. Even the negativity coming into your life, thank the universe for the opportunity to transmute it back into light. Consider every moment an opportunity to heal and transmute and complete the old patterns and to create and manifest new patterns of what you want. Because those are the patterns that we're going to be manifesting on the new earth. We're going to co-create the new earth. And we can do that, see how many ways in your life you can add to the love of your life. You can add to the love of your family. Just even mundane things like washing the dishes. Be grateful for the water. Be grateful for the dishes, for the service they're providing you to be able to eat. Be grateful that you have a home. Be grateful that you have a meal that you can do. Many people don't. And many people just take those things and think of them as a boring chore that they have to do. But do you know how many people would give a great, great deal to just be able to have a meal and a home and a place where they could be in comfort and enjoy just normal everyday things. So be grateful and be cognizant moment by moment.
Patricia, thank you for this incredible wisdom today. This has just been a beautiful, rich conversation. I feel very blessed to have you here with us. One of the gifts that you're offering, and I just appreciate it. It feels like it's in a wonderful segue with our conversation, is learning to love yourself. Could you say a little bit about the concept of learning to love yourself?
Yes, it's a very powerful sharing that from the company of heaven, and just helping us to realize that we can't give someone a drink from our cup unless our cup is full. You know, if you want to love people, if you want to be of service, you have to take care of yourself, self-care and learning to love yourself. And once this information shares this, that once you start realizing that your life is a reflection of your consciousness. So when things aren't going well in your relationships, people treat us and perceive us the way we feel about ourselves, which is really amazing. You know, when I was a marriage and family counselor for 20 years, and when I counseled women that were in situations where they were being abused, I can't tell you the number of them that had been through horrific childhood experiences to the point where they felt worthless and unworthy, and they kept drawing relationships into their life that would prove that belief system and confirm that belief system. So learning to love yourself transforms your life, because then you start magnetizing people, places, condition, and things into your life that revere and honor and respect you as you deserve to be respected. So it's a really important message, especially for this time when so much is surfacing and seems so confusing in the outer world.
What a beautiful gift. Thank you. I feel like there's something for us to learn in this too, in this whole work of being, you know, the changes that you're speaking about are ones that will be made by us actually accessing love on a greater level. But it's got to begin actually in this form right here that gets to learn how to love itself.
Absolutely. Yes, that's right, Karth. Thank you so much for letting me share and for sharing with me. This has been a really wonderful and powerful time for me.
It's been a wonderful, powerful time for me as well. And all of you listeners, I want to thank you for being here by having open minds and being curious and holding the possibility of the things that you're listening to today and allowing whatever you're ready to hear, whatever you're ready to have be part of your experience to come in. And if it's not, setting it on the side, that's fine. This space that we're creating today is really one of curiosity, where we're asking ourselves to shift and create our greater consciousness as we're ready for it and in the ways that we're ready. And this conversation between Patricia and I today, I know, has been really expanding on a lot of what some of you already realize is happening. And some of you experiencing this conversation today are going to say, I've never even thought that way. And my invitation is to hold all of this with great curiosity. Thank you for being here in Wild and Awake. And thank you so much for being here with us, Patricia.
You're welcome.